Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. My name is Will Brueggemann.
I am Carl Brueggemann. How's it going? This is episode 24.
Cruisin' USA. So, some of you might know about this game. This is a very, I think it's pretty popular soundtrack. Considered to be one of the best in the N64 library.
Oh, I mean, universally. I mean, I think it barely didn't make our top 10 soundtracks when we did that, our first episode.
Right. We haven't really talked a whole lot about this one, but I know it's one that is very near and dear to both Carl and my heart.
I mean, this track right here that you're hearing is one of the most effective pieces in all of video games.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it because on paper it doesn't sound like it would work. Like, having just that sort of bam, bam,
bam, bam, and honestly, like, really, I could hear this orchestrated with the full orchestra almost more than any other. It's so orchestrated so well, and it's so subtle too. It's really like smart. It's not in your face. It's very subtle music.
I mean, it really is. It's one of the most dense soundtracks that I can think of, and definitely the most dense that. One of the most dense that we've ever played on
the
podcast.
Yeah, really, we need to start going. I don't think we have time. We have so much music to get today. We really need to start hitting these tracks. So
right.
The first track we're going to play, I'm really excited about it. I've been... Whoa, Will, do you hear that? What's going on?
There's like a... Wait.
Some interference.
Something's wrong with the bandwidth.
Hello? You guys there?
Marty, is that you? What are you doing, Marty?
Marty, you're cutting into our signal.
Marty, are you on the Axion frequency? He's killing all of our bandwidth.
This is ridiculous.
Hello?
You
need to go down to the server room and see what's going on down there.
Okay, we need to do this quick. We're losing our feed.
Hello?
Here, take this walkie-talkie.
I'll be right back.
Just bear with us, guys. We're having some technical difficulties.
Okay, Carl, I'm in the server room.
What does it look like down there, Will?
It's 1 second. I need to take a closer look.
Hello?
Yeah, Marty, just hold on.
Hello?
Oh my God, it's really a mess down here. There's cables and cords. One second, I don't really know what I'm looking for here.
Marty, how did you even get on this frequency?
I'm not sure.
I'm losing my feet. It's dying. I don't.
What?
Carl,
feed? What the hell are you talking
nothing.
About?
I'm losing my feed. 1 second.
Hello?
Oh my God.
Calm down, Will.
Okay. I found it. Okay. I think I got one of the servers back up.
Oh, okay.
I think it's gonna take about 10 to 15 minutes to fully boot back up again. But we're gonna need Marty to get off the line. And Marty, can you hear me?
Hello?
You have to make sure. On the back of your audio interface, there's a small red button. Do not press that button.
Okay. What about this button?
No!
Carl? Will? Guys? Are you there? Ooh. Whoops. Okay, well, I'm guessing the podcast is still running. Looks like I'm going to have to take over from here, folks. All right. Hi, this is Marty Brueggemann, and it looks like for the time being, I'll be the host of this podcast. Some of you might know I might be this podcast's biggest fan, but I do have one little gripe, and now that these guys are gone, I can talk about it. You know, I love this video game music as much as the next guy, but there's something else about old video games that gets me feeling really sentimental and nostalgic. And you know what? It's the sound effects. You know, I mean, hey, it's the graphics too, but this is an audio podcast. It's kind of hard to talk about graphics. But, you know, honestly, when I think back to playing Mario, Mega Man, Zelda, Double Dragon, I really think of those sound effects too. You know, and actually, they're a big part of creating the illusion. Back in the day when we had pretty primitive graphics, the music was a big part of what created this illusion of taking us into another world or giving us powers that we didn't actually have. But the sound effects completed that illusion, in my opinion. And actually, one of my earliest memories of a sound effect in a video game really affecting me is in the arcade. I remember playing the game RoboCop, and it was just a side-scroller shooter, and like a guy on a motorcycle comes at you right away, and you just have this gun and you shoot. But when you make RoboCop punch, there was this sound effect that I remember it almost made all my bones shake. You know, sort of like that first time that you hear a snare drum when you're a little kid. just you can feel it in your bones. And so I'll never forget that sound effect. But hey, this is a music podcast. You might be wondering, what am I doing here? Well, the guys are gone, like I said. But beyond that, you know, especially in the early days of video game music, the sound effects had a lot to do with the music soundtrack. And in many ways, and in a lot of those games, they're really intertwined. You know, if we think about sound effects like in a movie or a television show, or even in a modern video game, they create those sound effects in a variety of ways. One, some of you may have heard of Foley artists. That's where people in the soundstage take a whole toolbox of all sorts of random things, and they try to approximate sounds in the television show or the movie using all sorts of odds and ends. So if someone is walking on the street, they put some sand on the floor and some shoes on their hand, and then they step in time to the picture. So that's Foley sound effects. And then there's also sound design. Maybe they've recorded sounds from a zoo or out in the field, and they mix them with synthesizers or do all sorts of crazy tricks to them. And so a modern television show or movie or video game will incorporate Foley sound effects and sound design. Now, in the days of the early arcade games, Atari 2600, NES, through Genesis, SNES, even a little bit into the 64-bit era, they didn't really have those options. So for the old school sound effects, the way that they generated those sounds would be that they either used the synth chip in the system, so some kind of pitched instrument that then they affect to approximate some other sort of sound, or they also were able to use white noise, sort of like the static on an old TV. And then even in the days of the NES, they had a sample channel. So it's basically sort of like imagine like a media player on your computer and you play a little sound clip, something like that, but with a lot smaller hard drive. So when I think about that kind of golden era of video game music and sound effects, I do think about the NES right away. And I also think that if we look at the NES, we can learn a lot about how sound effects work, not only in the 8-bit era, but in the era preceding it, like with arcade games and Atari 2600, and even the eras following, like the 16-bit era. So if you look at the NES, I mentioned before, and I think these guys have mentioned it too, that there are a few different channels, audio channels, in the system to create sound. There were two pulse channels. Sometimes we call them the square lead channels. These pulses, they created just a very simple sine wave. And we've all heard what that sounds like. But with the NES, you could customize the sound a little bit and create different timbres using something called the duty cycle. Now, the duty cycle refers to how much the wave is oscillating. So the different duty cycles that you could switch to on the NES were a duty cycle of 12.5%, 25%, 50%, and 75%. But actually the 75% sounds the same as the 25%. You know what? Actually, looks like I have a clip here. We'll take a quick listen and we'll hear what those different timbres sound like. Three different timbres on the pulse channel. And again. So you can hear that the timbre switches. And for any of you who grew up in the 8-bit era, you're probably going to get nostalgic over all three of those timbres. What's great is that you not only could you select a timbre for an instrument to start off with, but you can even switch those timbres. You can switch the duty cycle in the middle of a sound. So we'll listen to an example of an NES instrument where it attacks at 50% and then almost immediately switches to 25%. There we go. So if a designer of the game is wanting to use one of the pulse channels to create sound effects, they're probably going to manipulate not just changes in pitch and pitch bends, but they can also, using the duty cycle switches, they can switch the timbre on a dime. In addition to the two pulse channels on the NES, there's also a triangle channel, which sounds like this. In most games, the triangle channel is used for the bass instrument of the music. So it's a little less likely that the sound designer would use a sound effect using the triangle channel. Though really, sound effects can utilize any of the possible sound-producing options on the system. Now, the next channel is a pretty interesting one, and it's something that really separates a video game system from like a synthesizer keyboard, and it's the noise channel. When we're talking about noise, we're talking about white noise, sort of like static that you'd have on an old TV when you couldn't get a good signal. And what's cool about the NES is that there are actually two different modes of noise that you could generate. One, which is that kind of traditional hissing static, and another one that had a real metallic sound to it. Now, in either mode, you can actually switch pitch of the noise to create 16 sounds in either mode for a total of 32 sounds. This is what those sound like. So that first set was that white noise, and that second was that sort of metallic-y noise. And some of you might have already placed some of your favorite sound effects as you're hearing that whole sequence through both noise modes. Now, actually, while it wasn't that common, sometimes that metallic noise channel could even be used to play a melodic line. A pretty famous example comes from Mega Man 2. This is the Quick Man stage. So that instrument that sounds like it's tapping out Morse code, that's that noise channel set into the metallic mode. Now there's one more channel that I've left off, and it's the sample channel, or the DPCM channel. And this is the one, like I was saying a few minutes ago, you can think about it as like a little media player on your computer. But imagine that your computer had very, very limited space, and imagine that your media player can only play audio in 1-bit quality. That's right, even in this 8-bit era, that channel can only play audio in 1-bit quality. Now, this channel is used for a variety of purposes, sound effects being one of them, and also in some later Nintendo games, it's used a little bit more liberally for drums. And there are some games, for instance, games developed by Sunsoft, where they use this channel for bass. We'll listen a little bit to some examples of some drums and some other sounds using the sample channel. A pretty famous usage of this channel is for a steel drum fill at the beginning of a song from Super Mario Bros. 3. Some of you might know this one. Take a listen. So it's not used throughout the entire song, but when it does come in, it's really effective, and for its time, it's pretty impressive. Many of you have only heard the sample channel used in video games, so I wanted to give you a taste of what it would sound like with some audio that you're familiar with in higher qualities. So I put together a few little audio snippets that have been run through this channel, and you can hear what the limitations of that 1-bit audio do to the sound. That last sample was Freddie Mercury singing Another One Bites the Dust, and it actually had to be broken up into three separate samples. So you can hear what that 1-bit limitation does to the audio. It really creates a lot of distortion. And so imagine if you have a punching sound effect or an explosion sound effect that you'd maybe have from like a stock audio library. You run it through this channel and it gets an extra bit of grit automatically. And actually, if anyone is interested in these old school video game sounds, there's a blog you really have to check out. It's retrogameaudio.tumblr.com. And this guy named Bucky runs the blog, and boy, he really knows his stuff. And in fact, a lot of the clips that I'm playing come from his blog. So when we think about sound design in these old Nintendo games, we think about sounds that are designed by the same people that are composing the game's soundtracks. In those early games, it was pretty common for the video game music composers to also have the duty of sound designer. And sometimes those duties could really pile up. Apparently, for the early music and sound designers that were designing games for the arcades, they would even have to make decisions about what sort of speakers were going to be equipped on the arcade unit. So when we think of some classic Nintendo composers, for instance, like Koji Kondo or Hip Tanaka, those guys all were doing the sound design for their games too. And for instance, in the case of Koji Kondo, he was still responsible for sound design even leading up to Ocarina of Time, when the technology had advanced considerably. Now, it's not very surprising, knowing that these sound designers are musicians and composers themselves, that the sound effects they design are oftentimes incredibly musical. In fact, some of the most iconic video game sound effects are musical sound effects. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Have you ever heard this sound? I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like I just grabbed a coin. If we slow it down, though, we can hear what's actually going on. That's right. It's just two notes. In this case, it's two notes played on one of the pulse channels. Many games following Super Mario Bros. Would use this same sound effect. But as far as I'm aware, this is the first game that uses those exact two notes to represent a coin sound. Now, I'm not sure what exactly inspired Koji Kondo to pick those two notes. The interval is a fourth. It's a pretty strong interval. And it's positioned in a pretty high range. The pitches are pretty high. And with the sort of piercing attack of the pulse channel, there is maybe almost a metallic quality to it. But you know, at this point, it's hard, at least for me, to remember what a coin sounded like before playing Super Mario Bros. Now, if we look at some of the other sound effects from that game, for instance, we see that quite a few of them are musical in nature. But we might not catch it on first, second, or a hundredth listening. To help uncover the musicality in some of these sounds, I'll slow them down for you. Take this sound, for instance. Let's slow that down a little bit. Again, it has the same sort of timbre and attack as the coin sound effect did. And it is utilizing one of the pulse channels. Now that means whenever you'd get a 1-up or whenever you'd get a coin, one of the channels that was playing the background music would cut out to play this sound effect. Let's listen to another couple of sound effects that utilize some of the other channels on the NES, like the noise channel. A pretty fiery sound effect. Now, how on earth did he make that? Let's slow it down. Wow. You can really start to hear the musicality of it. Almost sounds like a drum beat when you slow it down that way. Let's listen to another effect. Okay, so to me that sounds like Mario just put on his brakes. What's really going on? Really? Let's listen to that again. Wow. But in the course of the actual game, that's happening so fast that you're not really hearing it as a sequence of notes. You're just hearing this tiny little explosion of sound. And it's coupled with the wonderful graphics of Mario starting to turn the other way that you can tell that, he's braking and his shoes are burning rubber. Now, my favorite video game sound effect of all time is also from this game. And I stumbled on the musicality of it by accident. This sound effect is pretty familiar to anyone who's played a Mario game, and they continue to use it in a lot of Mario games. This is whenever you get a mushroom. So to me, it sounds like Mario's just grown in size. Now, what's going on there? Wow. Pretty incredible, huh? Some of you might have felt like, oh, that's familiar. Isn't that somewhere else in Mario? Well, whenever you pull down the flag, there's a very similar stretch of music that occurs. And when I stumbled on this sound effect in slow motion, I just thought it was incredible how Koji Kondo had tied together his musical soundtrack and his sound effects. In this case, it's almost subliminal, but they really are stitched together. Now, this idea of musical sound effects isn't unique to this game. A lot of Nintendo games will use these sort of musical cues. In fact, if you can think of dying in any old school video game, there's probably a brief little musical cue. It might be its own little melodic material, or it might be some kind of variation on an overworld theme or some sort of main theme. And like I said, the coin effect from Mario was used in a variety of games. And a very similar effect is used in the Sonic the Hedgehog games for the rings. For the ring effect, they use an entire triad. And if any of you have some time to spare, you should Google Sonic Ring Noise Cash Register. And you can read about how some modern cash registers use a sound effect that's eerily similar to the power ring sound from Sonic the Hedgehog whenever you scan an item. In the 8-bit era of video games, these sorts of musical sound effects accompany deaths, discoveries, power-ups, completions of levels, major achievements, and missteps that the player might make. Another classic video game sound effect that has a lot of musicality to it comes from another game that Koji Kondo was the sound designer on, Legend of Zelda. This is the sound whenever you discover a secret. And if we slow that down, it's a very interesting sequence of notes. Now, this is such an effective sound effect, or musical snippet, whatever we're going to call it, that it's used in every single Zelda game, similar to this sound, which these guys use to announce their track of the week. But of course, not all video game sound effects are going to be this inherently musical. Whether it consists of a sequence of notes or not, it has to be produced using the same equipment that does produce the music. Let's listen to some more iconic video game sounds, like jumps. Now in this case, if we slow it down, it pretty much sounds like the sound that we're familiar with, just a little bit slower. We don't seem to uncover a secret little melody. But what's happening here is basically a pitch bend. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite sound effects comes from Pac-Man, and it's the sound when you get eaten by a ghost. And if we slow that down, it's a series of very unique pitch bends. Initially, these sound designers were pretty conservative and tried to use as little disk space as possible for the sound effects in music. Over time, though, they started to get a little bit more bold and began using more space on the sample channel for both sound effects and music. Here's an example of the sample channel being used for bass. Here's an example for drums. And if the sample channel can be used for drums or bass, it can just as easily be used for sound effects. Now, while they didn't have much space on the Nintendo, by the time the next generation of consoles came around, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, these designers had even more space to use for sound effects like this. Sega! It might just be a few seconds long, but at the time, it was pretty darn impressive. For anyone who grew up with a Genesis and played a game like Sonic the Hedgehog, that sound is probably pretty iconic and pretty important to you. In fact, I remember growing up, my dad would even sing that, Sega, and you'd be hard-pressed to get him to play a video game. Now, as time marched on, these sound designers were able to use the sample channel more and more. There was more space, and pretty soon the quality of the sample channel began improving. In fact, modern video game sound effects could be said to use the sample channel as well. In fact, all of the audio is basically samples, from the soundtrack to every sound effect to the dialogue. Even though the nature of these sounds has changed, they still perform a very similar role in video games. Really, what sound effects in games do is they reinforce our movements and our choices. When I grab a coin or a ring, or I hit a block or I hit a wall, there's a sound that reinforces what I've just done. When I press start, there's a beep that lets me know that I pressed the button. And when we think of these early video games, there's a sound that pretty much accompanies your every choice and your every move. And it's very supportive and very encouraging. If it's the first time that you're playing a video game, that sound lets you know that you're either on the right track or on the wrong track. And modern video games still use sound to reinforce the experience in this way. In fact, it's more than just video games that do this. Think of the major operating systems, either on a Mac or Windows. There are clicks and beeps and a variety of other sounds that complement every move that you make, reinforcing, in this case, not your gameplay, but all your computing decisions. Now, I don't know if Steve Jobs, rest in peace, or Bill Gates would ever admit this, but I kind of wonder if they didn't get the idea for all these sound effects from the video games that were around at the time. You know, and we do recognize that these sound effects are useful, whether it's Mac sounds or Windows sounds or video game sounds. In fact, if you play a modern game, whether it's something like Battlefield 3 on your PlayStation 3 or a handheld game on your smartphone, what you're going to find is that you'll have volume controls, not just for the music, but for the sound effects as well. The sounds are so important to the experience, so it's interesting to see how far we've come. At one point in time, there is one individual designing the entire game soundtrack and all of the sound effects, and they both were demanding the same resources on the system. It's safe to say that in a modern game, it would be pretty rare for one individual to handle both of these duties, let alone two individuals. In fact, in plenty of productions, you have an entire team devoted to sound effects and another team devoted to music. Whatever shape they take in a video game, they continue to support the game in creating the illusion. For me, I'm just fascinated with those early sound effects, and in a lot of ways, those sounds are little unsung heroes from that video game era. The box art, the graphics, the gameplay, the music, they're all a huge part of the experience. But honestly, when you take away the sound effects, it's not really the same game. And that brings me to another point.
Will, I think we got it. Whoa. I think we got it back.
Guys, 1 second. Is that you?
Yeah, we're back, Marty.
Ah, good. You're back.
Oh my gosh, it's so dank down there. Oh my god.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We just, we might have to reschedule this episode.
No worries, guys. I took care of the podcast.
Oh, you took care of it? Oh, well, that's cool. Thanks, Marty.
No problem. Next time I'll call ahead.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would
sure.
be great. Yeah, please do that. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks again, Marty.
Yeah, all right. See you later, Marty. Thanks for stopping by.
Talk to you guys later.
Oh, man, well, that's too bad. We were really looking forward to talking about cruising today. So, I mean, we weren't able to... We've been in the server room for the past half an hour, so me and Will, we weren't able to even hear anything Marty said. So, hopefully he talked about the game.
Yeah, sorry if this was fairly unprofessional, you guys. So, it's really kind of embarrassing that this happened in the middle of a podcast.
I mean, we really wanted this episode to be special. This is our second-to-last episode of our first season, and we apologize if...
I think on the bright side, the music definitely speaks for itself. And as long as he played some music from Cruisin', I mean...
Yeah, you know. I mean, if that's as long as he played any of those tracks from the game, I think we'll be happy, and I think you guys should have hopefully enjoyed this.
I wonder if he picked a track of the week.
I'm not sure if he did. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to check that out.
Okay, well,
I mean, unfortunately, this podcast is airing live, so we don't really have any editing. So, I mean, we have to just hope that it worked out. So,
yeah, thanks for sticking with us, you guys. We really appreciate it. Once again,
yeah,
sorry,
so that was
all these
that was
difficulties.
That was fun. That was an interesting episode, I think. But yeah, next. Anyways, yeah, we'll just kind of power through here. Next week, we are really excited. This is going to be our final episode for season one, and we've been preparing it and just anticipating it for a long time, and hopefully you guys have been too. I know we've been very ambiguous about it, and we've kind of left you guys in the dark. I don't know, Will, do you think there's any hints we can give about next week?
Well,
or?
I guess first I'd just like to say that it's been such a pleasure doing this podcast. It's been really exciting, and all of the hours and hours of work that we spend into preparing for all these podcasts, we really hope that'll all accumulate next week because we have some really exciting stuff. So, I mean, before we have the big reveal of what next week's topic's going to be, I just like to take care of a little business. Just once again, yep. Feel free to leave comments on our blog. Follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff.
Like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed the podcast, feel free to go on iTunes and give us a rating. You know, we'd always appreciate that.
Also, last week we played a lot of original compositions. Remember, you can always check out Carl's Sonic-esque albums.
Yeah, let us know if you guys got a kick out of last week's episode. I know we had a really good time sharing that music with you guys, and that's something that you know, if you guys happen to enjoy that, we might have to do another volume of that in our next season at some point.
Yeah, so, well, I think there's been enough suspense.
Can
we get a drum roll? Okay, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the topic for the 25th episode of the Super Mercado Brothers is...
God, I don't know if we can make it through this.
Okay, you should like say something about like how good like the musicality is or something.
Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, whoa, whoa. Wow, Jesus.